when do I get to see someone like me just like singing a fun song about space?
We talk about some heavy stuff and then we play a game.
Let me tell this story.
Yes, I love that answer.
It was nice having a comfort character that I could relate to and write a happy ending for.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Off to Broadway, the podcast where we deep dive into anything and everything musical theater from the comfort of my car. I'm Tara.
I'm Stefania.
And in today's episode, we are talking with the team from A Strom Club, the musical. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you guys doing? How's life been?
Crazy.
Crazy.
Been doing pretty good. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff to do.
That's good. Keeping busy.
Yeah.
So we would love it if you guys could one by one introduce yourselves, starting with our creator, Hannah.
Cool. Hi, I'm Hannah. I'm 21. I'm from the UK, and I'm the creator of A Strom Club.
Hi, I'm also named Hannah, and I'm co-creator and co-writer of A Strom Club. Yeah, two creators, two Hannahs.
Convenient. We love
it. Hannah's
memorable.
Easy to remember.
Yeah,
exactly.
And my name is Maddie, but I go by Bug online, and I am the head artist of A Strom Club, and I am the first person that started working with Hannah on the project.
Oh, cool. Amazing. All right, so we are going to start off this episode the way that we start all of our episodes when we do interviews, and that is, what is your earliest memory of theater? Bug, let's start with you.
Oh, goodness. let's see. Like stage theater or theater in general?
Anyway.
Any theater, yeah.
Oh, goodness. I want to say my introduction to it was in elementary school when I was in a school play. Totally forget what the play was, but in terms of like watching plays on a stage, it was also in school. I've never been to one live, but I'd like to once COVID is over, but that was probably mine.
I was going to say, Hannah, why don't you go next? But
which one?
I'll go. My first introduction to theater was actually in sixth grade. There was always a tradition that the sixth grade class would put on a Shakespeare play. And I got so excited the night before auditions. I spent hours just like reading the page of lines that they gave us. And I memorized both the parts. And when they called us up to just like, all right, yeah, I'll just like read this part. I was like, can I do this part actually? Like, I was like so picky and choosy about it. It's like, this was so fun. And I think I got the lead role in that. It's honestly kind of a blur. I remember nothing about it. It wasn't even a Shakespeare play. It was a play about Shakespeare. That was like a weird time travel musical. I couldn't tell you more about it than that.
So my first memory of theater is very clear for me. So I had just moved in with my grandparents permanently, and I was still very quite shy, quite reserved. And to try and bring me out my shell, my grandma's like an avid musical theater lover, and she took me to see Wicked in London on Halloween. And then
on Halloween,
that's amazing.
They dropped like loads of green balloons like at the end from the ceiling, and it was just amazing. And since then, I've been completely obsessed with it.
That's so much fun.
Yeah.
So let's jump into A Strom Club. Like, tell us about it and tell us where it started, what it stemmed from.
Cool. I'll start. So I do music at university as a degree. And our final project, most of my course normally write like an EP or an album, but I do pop music as my degree, not just general music. So I was like, what do I do? I don't want to write a pop album, so that's not what I do. And I wanted to originally put on a stage musical, but because of COVID, obviously that got completely shut down. And I was kind of sat in my room one day thinking like, okay, how do I still do this musical, but like adapt to these COVID restrictions? And that's kind of where the idea of an animated musical came into play. And then I was scrolling through Instagram one day and I found some of Bug's work and very shyly messaged her like, hi, would you possibly want to work on this project with me? And yeah,
let me tell this story.
Please.
So what happened was I had a Facebook account that unfortunately got hacked. And through that account, I was a part of a bunch of art groups and had posted some of my art on there as well as my Instagram link. And unfortunately, when it got hacked, I had to delete that account. But Hannah had seen my work on there before and frantically was like asking people, I think you put a post out, didn't you? Like, does anyone remember this person who had like these characters or whatever? And someone came through and linked her to my Instagram, and that's when she messaged me. So she went through some hoops, and I'm very grateful for her.
A misconnection almost.
Yeah.
But also, just thinking about the fact, like, you're in BC and you're in the UK, and that time zone difference is, like, quite difficult to work with.
Just think about the time zones here right now, you know?
Yes.
We have a cast member in Singapore, so it's even worse than you would think.
I can't imagine.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting. That's fun.
Yeah. I came in a couple months after the project's first conception. I think I was scrolling through TikTok and a post came on my For You page that was calling for all sorts of different creatives, artists, and musicians and stuff. I will note specifically, they didn't ask for a writer, but I messaged Hannah anyway. It was like, hi, I do this. If you ever need like a script reader. And she's like, do you want to write? You want to like write it? I don't quite remember how like we jumped right into it, but I think it was that night or the next night I like pumped out like 30 pages of an introduction.
Wow.
It was, we kind of were on the same length, wavelength the whole time. And we both had the same idea for the direction it was going to go and it worked really well together. And here we are.
Well, I mean, just looking at and talking to you guys here, I am under the impression that nobody's ever met in person, right? You guys have only done this all virtually. So that's kind of cool.
Most of the cast, like the majority of our cast is from England, but they're also quite close friends of mine. Mm-hmm. So the England bunch are quite close. Like we've met in person, but I've never met like Hannah or Bug or like any of our other musicians, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
That has been something with the pandemic that has kind of opened us up to working with people further away. We would normally look closer, but if I have to be on a video chat with someone next door to me, why not be on a video chat with someone across the world for me? It's no different. So
that's
exciting that you've been able to put together a team from so many different places in the world.
And so, Hannah, this was a school project for you?
Yeah, a university project. So this is like my final project before I graduate. And I was kind of like, oh, it'll just be like a small project. And then like a few months later, it's become like a worldwide passion project.
So just kind of as a personal note for you, obviously you've had to finish schooling online to do like arts education, not in person. What has that been like?
It's not been great. So I struggle with online learning anyway. So trying to stay motivated and like create Astrom Club during a pandemic where it's so hard to be creative, it's presented its challenges, but also helped me figure out new ways to be creative. My lecturers have kind of vanished almost. Feels like it's just the students on their own at the moment, which is okay because that kind of means I did this all without their help. Which just proves,
yeah, that's cool. So we have been listening to a couple of the songs that you guys have posted on your social media. We really love the song "Hold Me." It's beautiful. Can you tell us a little bit about that song?
Yeah. So it's written by my friend Tom, and Tom and I went to the same university, and we're also, fun fact, went to the same secondary school where we were best friends. Kind of fell out of contact for a little bit. And then when I was writing Astrom Club, I was like, why don't I message Tom? Because he's a beautiful acoustic singer-songwriter. And there's the one specific scene in our musical where I was like, something like that would really fit. And I messaged him and he was really interested and he joined the music team, but it also helped us rekindle that relationship, which is really nice. Hannah, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit more about the scene that it plays into.
I think the scene spawned from the song. I remember when we first got a demo of Hold Me and I put it on loop And it, like, I remember saying it melted like butter in my ears. It's just, it was so lovely and calming. And so I was like, this is a scene. This is, we're putting this in here. It belongs here. And this is like kind of halfway point, act one finale, like, at, like these kids get a breather to just all like be calm and happy together. And that's really just, it's just full of love, and Tom's really, really talented, and yeah.
We love that song, so it makes us excited to hear what the rest of the musical sounds like and different pieces coming together. Can you give us like a 60-second quick summary of Astrom Club, our elevator pitch? Okay. Is that stressful? Is that stressful?
Astrom Club follows five main characters, Juniper, Floss, Sage, Lake, and Ophelia, who come from a variety of different queer backgrounds, and how they navigate just kind of their interpersonal relationships with their families and friends and small community, and what they can realistically do at that age to make a difference. We don't want to go and pull the prom and that's mean. Okay. But like, so we didn't want to solve prejudice in a matter of minutes. But we did want to tell a story that people could look at and realistically be like, that's where change comes from, and that's how, like, they can see their own situation in these narratives. Real stories that don't get told enough, tackling real issues, but also providing a story where these characters can just be these characters. You get a lot of stories of minorities that the whole plot centers on them being a minority. And it's like, okay, when do I get to see someone like me just like singing a fun song about space?
Right.
So wanted to tell real stories, but also have fun and sort of open a door for more casual storytelling of that kind.
Where did the inspiration to set it in an astronomy club come from?
It was really random. I was on Pinterest one day looking at like inspiration, because as part of my module I have to provide a whole lot of evidence of how this idea came about. And I was looking at like backgrounds and other artists' work, and I saw this really beautiful like classroom, and it was like full of stars and like hanging lights and stuff, and I was like, wow, that's so pretty. And I felt really at peace and calm, and I was like, I wish I had a safe space like that at school myself. And then I was like, wait a minute, that could be a really good focal point for the musical.
Mm-hmm. So you were saying that you saw Bug's artwork online, and that's sort of how you guys met to reach out for that. But obviously, because you couldn't have a stage production being turned into an animated musical, did you keep the same art style that you've previously done? Or what was the conversation like to figure out the artwork for this musical?
Basically, it's in my style. Originally, Hannah had reached out to ask for a concept art drawing of Juniper and Floss, who are the two main characters. And it was just like a headshot of each of them together. And it turned out really cute, and you know, she was super happy with it. And then a couple hours later, she messaged me back and said, how about you do the whole musical? And I said, excuse me. And I said, what do you mean by that? She goes, well, not animated. She said, you know, if you could do the art for it. And I was like, all on board, count me. And so for the first, how long was it before we brought Karis into our background artist? How long was it until we brought her in?
It was probably
at least about a couple months.
Yeah, like the TikTok where it got really popular.
Yeah, so it was just the two of us for the first month and a half, for a couple months.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for consistency, and also people seem to really like the style, you know, we decided, or Hannah decided, that the whole thing would, you know, as close as possible, try to be in my style. So I haven't changed anything about my own style. seems like people are happy with it, so I guess we'll keep going with that.
It's a great style.
Yeah, I love it. It's so cute. Which is like part of my question of the style itself. Is it hand drawn? Is it digitally drawn? Is it a combination of both? How do you do it?
It is all digital. I have an iPad Pro. I have Procreate. I will never use anything else. I love it so much. And yeah, it's all digital. So
that's cool.
I love that, Hannah, you had been writing this music and then you saw Bug's art and said, oh, that matches perfectly what I'm writing. And then you guys were able to connect, that she didn't have to change anything about her style and you didn't have to change anything about you, but they were a perfect match. I love that.
It's like fake.
It's perfect. Were you part of your school's astronomy club? Is that?
No, so we don't actually have anything like that at my university, but we do have a musical theater society, which is where, I don't know if I would have been able to do this whole project without their help, because most of the cast is from that society. And like this time last year, I don't know if I would have had the confidence in myself to manage a worldwide project. But that society has really brought out a side to me that I never knew I had, which has been really nice. But yeah.
Well, having it become this big and becoming a worldwide thing wasn't even the plan in the first place. The plan was for it to be your project, and it just happened to be on the internet, and people just started liking it. So we're like, okay.
Yeah. It's been a massive learning experience, even with just like the technicalities of organizing things on this scale. Like there's a lot of little things that you might not catch the first time around that we've had to keep track of.
Well, we noticed on your Instagram that you guys did a script read through over Zoom, I imagine. How has putting together a musical online with cast, creatives, everybody, how has that worked out? I'm assuming there's been challenges, but I also assume that there's been many positive things to come out of that as well.
It's been great to meet so many new and talented people and to reach people we never thought that we would reach. Especially in the early days, I was just blown away that Hannah had the gall to just reach out to people of varying levels of professionalism. And I'm like, you just like asked and they said yes. And it's like, well, yeah, if you don't ask, you don't know. And people are always like, they're really willing to contribute to things that matter and that are interesting. And yeah, it's been great. Time zones, again, have been a huge struggle. I think the largest time zone difference is with Tony, one of our main characters in Singapore. I think between us and maybe British Columbia, it's like 14 or 16 hour difference. It's impossible to schedule. Like we're trying our best, but getting everyone together in one room. Has been difficult, but we try as best we can.
We actually tried at one point to make a I think Hannah tried to make a list of like, if it's this time here for this person, it'll be this time for this person, and then from there there's like over a dozen names on the list, and it's like, okay, here's everyone's time zone, how do we work this out? And then it never does anyway, so.
Right.
So when you're writing a song, what comes first? Does it, the melody comes first, the lyrics, the title, the idea? Where do you start when writing a song to the end?
I think for me personally, I always have the idea of what I want from each song. And then we speak to the rest of our music team, specifically Maisie and Alora, who aren't here today, but they're like our head composer, head musical director. And from there, Maisie will usually go away and play with us this idea instrumentally, and then send it to us over Discord. And then we meet every Sunday to work on those ideas and work on those lyrics. And then it normally takes like a few weeks for us to come up with a draft, solely because it's so hard for all of us to get together virtually and write music virtually, actually quite hard.
Yeah. I would also say that like script really came before anything. Yeah. And while we were writing the script, we sort of marked where we wanted songs, and writing the script also allowed us to know like the emotions going in and the context for all the songs, so we could really, really get it just right. And now it's kind of like we're going back and we're like, all right, what exactly do we want out of these? What are we trying to say in a matter of minutes? And then from there, like the idea, and everyone just kind of tries to get stuff in at once that we can play around with over time.
So did you have any musical influences before even creating this project? Was there something in mind that was like, this is kind of the vibe that I want for this?
So musically, I'm a big fan of like Dear Evan Hansen, like Waitress, those sort of vibes. Heathers. Heathers is a big one in this.
We love Heathers.
We do.
I mean, who doesn't love Heathers?
And those are the types of musicals that I mostly wanted to incorporate into this. But that being said, we've got such a wide mix and mash of different genres. For example, I don't know if you've heard it, but Mr. Preston's song is kind of turning into like a goofy waltz. Mm-hmm. And have you ever heard that in a musical before?
Right.
So we're like pulling from generic musical influence, but also creating this sort of hybrid identity of our own musical genre theme, which is really cool, I think.
I'm so excited for everyone to hear the final product of Mr. Freshkin's World. It's my little baby, lyrically. I adore it. I'm so excited for it. And it's going to be a great time.
Yeah.
Against infinite factors, you're here and that matters. So by God, give yourselves some slack. But before we can marvel at black holes and stars, well, we must start when all is black.
So much
fun. It's just fun.
It's just so fun. And like random inspiration comes out of nowhere. I think I especially will listen to all sorts of different genres and stuff, and I'll hear maybe like a specific chord progression or like little note thing. And it's like, okay, now that's in the back of my mind, and I'm going to let that simmer. And now I'm going to go think about something like what that song we actually need is, and then see if that applies to this. So mm-hmm. like a movie soundtrack, or I think I was listening to like a playlist of like old Russian waltzes and stuff specifically for Mr. Freskin's song, because I wanted that kind of vibe, like that swinging, spinning vibe of like dancing in a ballroom almost. Mm-hmm. And it's random inspirations coming from the weirdest places.
So speaking of like, what has the recording process been like for music? Is it virtually? Are you able to get some people together in the same room? How is that working?
So as I said, Maisie does all the instrumental stuff, and Maisie goes to the same university as me, but different course. Mm-hmm. So for Maisie, at least, we've both got professional recording equipment, which kind of makes it a bit easier. At the moment, we've only got instrumental like demos for like the songs we've done so far. Tom also is able to record his own stuff, and the person who plays Mr. Freskin, he lives alone, so that means, and he lives down the road from me, so that makes that easier. But we have not yet attempted to get the rest of the cast to record their vocals, and it's gonna be chaotic.
But exciting. It will be exciting when that happens.
Yes.
And everyone's kind of in the same boat right now. Everyone's recording virtually. Yeah. So it's you know, it's hard, but everyone's been doing it. So you guys can do it too.
Yeah.
Something that we love about your musical is that there are so many different characters that are normally not represented on stage. And Hannah M., you touched on that a bit earlier. And I just want to know why it's so important to tell the story. We obviously know that it's so important, but for you guys specifically, to include such diverse cast and so much inclusivity, why is this important to you?
Like I said before, it was really just like, there are not enough of these stories, and there are not enough characters and stories that people can look up to that need them. There are people out there that don't know what they're feeling is normal. There are people out there who do not have support. I personally, in my own areas of life, like looked up to characters and shows and stories for inspiration and for comfort a lot in like middle school and high school. And it's kind of, it made me who I am now. And I feel like my goal in life is to pay that forward. And we are right at a crux in time where I feel we're about to enter a new generation of media. Mm-hmm. And these voices need to be heard, and it needs to be normalized that we're hearing these voices, both in context where they are saying what they need to say, and also just like I want to see like a strong Black autistic woman who's like, her whole thing isn't about being autistic. It's like her own goals. But I love Ophelia. I could talk about Ophelia for days and days. I could talk about all the characters for days and days. We've just been working really hard to put a lot of heart and a lot of character into these characters. And we want them to feel like real people so that other real people can see themselves in them.
So with this past year of lockdown, so many issues in the theater community have come to light. So we're audience members, and how can we as audience members ensure that we're supporting positive and inclusive voices in the community on stage and off stage?
I think research is the most important part. So obviously with Astrom Club, a lot of research has gone into it because obviously me and Hannah aren't those minorities that we're writing about. So we wanted the story to be as genuine and realistic as possible. So we got a reading team full of different people. We have a deaf character in our musical, and we've actually managed to get an ASL person who can help us translate those signs during the scenes that we need. And it's just people being able to tell us if we're doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't make positive change without the people helping us make those changes.
I will say that we are working to tell the stories that are ours to tell from like a queer and a gender perspective. A lot of things we personally went through or that we know people in our lives have gone through. A lot of very real things from growing up in as a queer individual is put into this musical. And that's our story to tell. There are a lot of other facets of identity and gender and all sorts of different things that we could tackle that could be addressed. But those aren't our stories to tell. Like, I think all of our characters come from a different ethnic background. And while that it's important and it's something that is sort of addressed in it's like not our place to tell an entire narrative about being that person, if that makes sense. So yeah. we're telling important stories. We're telling the stories we know how to tell, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And I guess just over, as Steph was saying, over the course of the year with everything changing in the theater industry and things being brought to light, have you guys had to change any aspects of the musical to reflect what's happening in the world around us?
Or has like the world climate impacted the way you've seen something in the musical?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, you know what? I would say actually, and this happens in a lot of different ways, but I guess over the last couple of years, seeing how kids and teens and the public in general like respond to like a lack of justice for certain people, how like I went to a high school where that was known locally for its fights. But also had a lot of really great people that were like voices of change and people who you could turn to for information and resources and that kind of thing. And so there's a specific scene actually where one of our main characters, Ophelia, is pouring her heart out and letting the whole school know, like, here's where we're coming from and why it's such a big deal. And like, it's a privilege for you to not have to care about it. And the way the students react to that, I pulled a lot of personal experience of just watching my peers react to a bad situation and react to authority around them. And kind of a message throughout the musical is that you are not as alone as you think you are. That there are a lot of people like you and a lot of people that will stand up for you. But not everybody knows certain things are an issue, if that makes sense. I kind of rambled kind of around that. But student perspective and kind of how people react to that kind of thing. mm-hmm. has been impacted a lot by the last few years, both publicly and in my personal life.
Okay, let's lighten the mood. Let's play a game. We've got a little game. This is where we naturally have a game, because, you know, we talk about some heavy stuff and then we play a game. Okay, so the game we have today, we're going to give you the titles of some musicals, and we want you to add or change a word to make it about space.
Okay.
Does this make sense? Okay. We can give you an example.
Okay,
Tara, yeah. Your example.
So the example is
a musical quiz, and I was like, "Man, that is
No. Don't worry.
So our example is "Come From Away," and to change it to make it space themed is "Come From the Milky Way."
Mm-hmm. Ew. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, Steph, want to give us our first one?
Okay. Fun Home. Can we add or change a word to make Fun Home space themed?
Sun Home.
Sun Home. Oh,
that's
so
good. That's cute. I like it. School of Rock, which is like kind of already like rocks, right? Could be space themed, but we need like more to that.
Debris.
Comets of rock.
Yes. Okay, more rocks. Rock of Ages.
Rock of Space, I don't know.
Rock of Space. We were doing this yesterday, and Steph and I were like, you could just put space with anything and it would work. So we'll take it.
Anywhere there's a noun, just space.
Yeah, space instead. Okay, go ahead.
Dear Evan Hansen. This one's a bit harder.
Why am I so bad at this? Dear Rocket Man.
Dear Rocket Man.
Dear
Planets Forming.
Yes. Okay. Yes, we've really completely changed gears here. I love it.
Well, I feel like you can't keep Evan Hansen if you're trying to change the meaning of it.
No, you can. You can. Astronaut Evan Hansen.
Oh. Yes. Dear Astronaut Evan Hansen. He's in space. Okay. What about Into the Woods?
Into
the galaxy, into
dear. Oh, sorry, this came 30 seconds late. Dear go. Event Horizon.
Oh,
oh
there
wow.
we go. Okay, wow. Okay,
okay. Now we kept the same letters that are needed.
Right,
for all of that.
There we go.
Wow, that was impressive. West Side Story,
Light Speed Story.
And I'll take it. I like it.
I like it. It's good. Okay. Once on this island.
Once on this planet.
Yes.
That's the one that we had too. That's we like my one.
Our idea. Love it.
Okay. And we'll do one more. Let's do Wicked.
Space. That's only one word.
You can add a word to it.
Okay.
Wicked fast. Because
yes. Like light speed. Like the speed of light.
Love it. Okay. So we want to talk a bit more about the artwork. So the collaboration between writing the music and story and then also creating the visuals for the characters. How does this all come together? Do you guys meet and like have a conversation about it? Do you give pieces of the script and be like, go and draw? Like, how do we do it?
When I started this project, the character designs actually came before anything else. So from the get-go, I had a very clear idea of the characters I wanted. They were kind of just empty shells. Like, they had the descriptions of what I wanted them to look like, but their personalities were still lacking.
Well, what Hannah gave me was the Pinterest board for each character. And it was just like, go, design.
Oh, cool.
I was like, okay.
So you had a lot of freedom in creating the characters.
I had basically the entire... Like, I'm at fault for the design of every single character.
So it's all you, every single thing.
Well, the description and, like, you know, Hannah knew, like, their nationality, their clothing style, their, you know, hair color or whatever. But in terms of, like, you know, being in my style, she was like, have fun. So I was like, okay, sounds good. And that's where they all came from, so.
And then, Hannah, from there, would you take the art and use that to inspire writing the music or
the
script or?
Mm-hmm. Because like once I see something, I think it's so much easier for me to build upon that idea because I'm a very visual learner. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
You need to see what the characters are to insert them into a scene or insert them into a moment or
I think like once you see this character, it's so much easier to imagine like a backstory, their habits, their like little characteristics that make them them. I don't think I would have been able to do all of that without seeing them.
I'm the same way. I have a habit of, I've got like 14 brain vomit ideas of my own in my Google Drive, but then I'll see something like this, another project that someone else has started. And if I can just like see the characters and know the direction it's trying to go, it's so much easier for me to formulate a story from that than to like start from scratch on my own, which honestly is a little bit of a problem for me and I'm trying to figure it out. But good things are coming from it. So.
And Bug, do you animate as well or how does that work?
No. I have before. I'm capable of animating. So the thing is, I went to Vancouver Film School, which by the way is like the number two film school in the world. Not to brag.
Yes.
Part of that was learning how to animate. It was a four-year program put into 1 year of school. So it was all of the curriculum within one compressed year. So part of that was we had like a real hardcore crash course on animation. You know, not just like old style of like flipbook animation, but full-blown like animation programs. Putting your style into the program and animating it. And it was probably the most stressful, terrible couple weeks of my life. And I don't want to do it again. So, to answer your question, I have handed off all...
Do you mind?
Do we have an animal? Can we show and tell?
She's like, she wants attention so bad. I'm not giving it to her, so she's throwing a fit. Anyway, so I've handed all animation duties off to the other artists. I'm like, you have fun with it. I know a few of them are super talented animators. I have animated a couple of very short things for the project, but in general, I'm definitely not an animator, and I figured that out really quickly.
So speaking of Bug, you were the first artist to become involved with the project, but how did you put together your team of artists? How many artists are there involved in the project, like visual artists?
Oh, goodness. At least a dozen, I think, we've had over the course. I mean, some of unfortunately have had to leave because of their own lives just getting in the way, which is all right. But I think in total, we've had at least a dozen. Right now, we have, I think, six or seven that are still going strong. But I think... It was mostly like the pleas for help on the internet, like on TikTok and Instagram, like, you know, Hannah being like, we need artists, we need animators. If you can do art, message me and we'll drag you in. So over time, we compiled just this really fun group of people to work with. And it's just been great working with them. All their own styles are really fun. And it's been fun trying to teach them how to draw in my style. As
I was going
to
say,
some of them got it right away. Some of them are like, I have no idea.
how did that come to be? Did you guys have like Zoom classes where you all draw together?
We tried Discord classes, but only like one or two were able to show up because of time zones.
Yeah.
I think some forgot. So that was scrapped pretty quickly. But I have made a couple of like style guides. Like, here's how I color. Cool. Here's how to do a face. And here are some hands for practice. Have fun.
Yeah, that was about it. That's awesome. No, I love the style. I love that it looks like sketch, but also like watercolor almost. Like, it's really beautiful. So I really like it.
Thank you.
Where did inspiration for each of the characters come from? Were they based on real people or on just, I don't know, where did they come from?
So I'll talk about one character in particular. So Floss, I based her a lot on myself, personality-wise. She's quite a shy person at the beginning, quite reserved. She always struggles to like stand up for herself, which is a big thing for me. But not only personality-wise did I try and base her off myself, but like just the characteristics and like aesthetics and things she likes. And I don't know. It was nice having a comfort character that I could relate to and write a happy ending for. In regards to the other characters, me and my lecturer worked quite extensively on making sure that these were characters that weren't always represented in the media, to give them a voice and a platform. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's how they came about.
And even so, though they're also different, they're also relatable, which mm-hmm. helps. It kind of ties everything together.
So we know that Floss is you, Hannah, but who does everybody else identify with? Any characters that you could place yourself in if you had to?
I've been switching a lot as they've been written. I also really identify with Floss in certain ways, kind of how she views herself. Ophelia, definitely, I think. Ophelia and her work ethic and how she kind of views her worth through that. They're all really just like really strong, wonderful characters. I've put little pieces of myself in all of them. It's my privilege as a writer. Mm-hmm. I would say probably, you know what, actually,
such a hard
it's really hard. I think a weird combination of Sage and Ophelia for me. I see a lot of myself.
And Bug, anyone for you? Any characteristics you identify with?
A little bit of all of them still.
Yeah.
I would say Lake, probably just a fun-loving guy. Also, I guess some parts of Floss, simply, you know, her... Yeah, just her vibes, her characteristics. But yeah, a little bit of everybody, so I can't really put a finger on one.
Okay, so now I want you to visualize a post-pandemic world. We're all back in in-person theater. Your biggest fantasy, who is your dream cast for the musical and what is your dream venue?
Oh, I'm going to say something really cheesy, but I actually genuinely mean it. I could imagine anyone else on our cast than the cast we have right now.
Mm.
I say something completely different to me. That's what I'm going with.
I think I would go with that also. And it's a safe answer for me because I don't know more than a handful of like Broadway actors on the wall. So. But like they're all really talented and they fit their characters so well. It's hard to imagine giving those roles to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And although some of them don't quite look like their characters, it's something that can easily be overlooked because they're so much like their characters, and they do mm-hmm. such a good job at embodying those characters, and it's just been, you know, I also can't imagine anybody else.
Yeah. And if it were to play somewhere, where would you like it to play?
I don't know, everywhere,
hopefully.
I was gonna say, I think the script would need major adapting for it to become a stage production because it's been written for the screen.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
That'd be an interesting challenge to take on.
Yeah.
I think I had the idea running in my mind because our script is already a decent length, not even including all the songs. It's long. and we're animating all of it. It's crazy. But I almost was thinking that in another world, we could have broken it up into two separate musicals. I think Juniper, Floss and Ophelia all, like, have their stories that we could have fleshed out more, and then Lake and Sage have a whole narrative of their own that could be told through their own musical. It was honestly, because we wanted to tell all these stories and give them the screen time they deserved, it was honestly hard to not be like, we're making it 400 pages long, everyone gets all the scenes they deserve, we're touching on everything.
But you say that, though, we did the read-through, and the first read-through we did was, like, what was it, 6 till midnight?
Oh, my God. I had pulled an all-nighter the night before, just going through and editing it. And then at 6 a.m. for me, we had a read-through with just, like, two of our cast members. And then a couple hours later, another read-through, and that lasted, like, 6 more hours.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I got yelled at to go to bed.
We have another game for you guys. It is a rapid fire of questions that we are titling Personality Test Drive. Are you guys ready?
Oh, yes.
What cast recording are you listening to on a road trip?
Mm.
rapid. Nothing's
it's
coming.
It's rapid fire too. The dead silence.
Others.
SpongeBob musical.
Yes, yes, I love that answer.
Greatest Showman.
Oh, Greatest Showman. Yeah, we love The Greatest Showman.
We also love that. What is your favorite planet?
Pluto.
Pluto.
Mars came to mind for me, and I'll stick with it. Mars.
Good. We like it. Favorite show that you've never seen?
Oh,
I haven't seen any of them.
You can give us a whole list then.
First of all, Hannah Lim, I found out literally yesterday, has never seen The Greatest Showman.
I haven't
seen it either.
Oh my God, really? Tragic.
Okay, you know.
You guys need to plan a time and watch it together.
Well, when you say that, because we are tonight.
Are you? Oh, that's so exciting. Oh my God. we actually.
Let's invite ourselves. Let's go.
Yeah, we did an episode recently on The Greatest Showman, and Steph and I watched it together online. We've seen it many times, but it's really fun to just watch together.
My answer would be Waitress or Rent or Hamilton.
Nice.
Ooh. Great choices.
I would say maybe I'm actually I'm so excited to see In the Heights in theaters this summer. I've been waiting so long for that, but I guess technically that's not live.
Can I tell you, we just saw the movie. We just saw it.
You just saw it?
Yes.
I'm going to cry during that movie. I love a good movie that's just like enjoy life and the people around you. It's just, yeah. It's going to make me sob. I'd say maybe other than that, there's a 2008 version of Frankenstein. I don't want to be like the not mainstream person. It's just more people need to listen to it. But it's really good. And yeah, Frankenstein, 2008's Frankenstein. Yes. Live.
Real very rapid cool. Fire, guys. Good job.
Okay. What is your favorite social media platform?
Instagram.
TikTok or Tumblr for me.
Nice. We've also gotten into TikTok. It's very fun. A song that you wish you wrote.
Oh, that's a hard one. All of them. Every single musical song that's ever been written. Maybe Dead Girl Walking from Heathers. I'm a big nice. Heathers fan, if you couldn't tell.
Love it.
Rewrite the Stars.
Oh, I love that song too. I love that we're going full on Greatest Showman here.
I'm literally obsessed and I don't care
what it says. We're always ready to turn any episode into a Greatest Showman episode.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well, call me back.
I want to change my answer.
Yeah.
Okay. Change it. Do it.
Requiem from Dear Evan Hansen.
Ooh.
That is also a great song.
Great song.
Wow, we really love Pasek and Paul here too. So
love it. I don't know. Maybe In the Heights is a very just like I love the it as an opening number introducing everyone. That or Bikini Bottom Day from SpongeBob. I love like being able to bounce around and meet everyone but like have really good flow. We're trying to do that with Astrum Club. It's a big opening number. You're like zooming through the halls of the school. It's different cool. Musical styles. It's going to be great.
So fun. Okay. Do you have any special skills on your resume or something that you would put on it?
I play 5 instruments.
That is a very special skill. List them. What are they?
So I play piano, guitar, ukulele, violin, and I sing.
Wow.
Violin. I love violin. That's fun.
Woman of many talents. I am really good with kids, so I don't know where that would come in with.
That's good. That's career, a good skill to have.
That's an extra. I mean, obviously, aside from art, I really don't do anything else. But that'd be fine.
I'd say I'm also good with kids. I taught swimming lessons and did some mentoring for about 4 or 5 years. Nice. Love them to death. They're just kids are so great. I'd say. Other than that, like I like things that use my hands a lot, knitting and crocheting and sewing and that kind of thing. Or any repetitive task I'm really good at focusing in on.
Guilty pleasure musical. I feel like Greatest Showman is the one.
But it's not guilty, though. I have no guilt.
Feel that's
no
true. Guilt. We have no shame either.
I'm going to say Beetlejuice.
Yes.
I might literally say SpongeBob again, just because it's the one that if you haven't heard it, everyone's going to judge you for saying SpongeBob. That's true. Oh, you know what I will say? Also, one that I've been going crazy about it to all of our artists and everyone. I won't shut up about it. There's a new musical called Seeds the Musical by Adam Gubman. He actually wrote the song This Is Me on the Greatest Showman soundtrack. And he wrote a new musical. It came out about a month ago, maybe. And it's just great. It's original and great singers. And it's kind of a unreality, mental hospital in limbo kind of thing. And these kids banding together. And it's great. It's a great time. I just whacked my microphone. I'm sorry. So SpongeBob or Seeds for me. I keep saying a whole paragraph with these. It's supposed to be great. I'm so sorry.
Okay. Next question. What movie would you turn into a musical?
Oh my gosh.
Princess and the Frog.
Good answer.
Good.
Amazing.
You know what? I'm going to say
The Greatest Showman.
Initially, that's what came to mind, but it's like, wait a minute. The Brain Cells book. You know what? I had one and then I lost it. Sorry. I'll come back later.
I'd say The Little Prince would be really interesting to see as a musical. Mm-hmm. Just see that? The French book, it was turned into an animated movie a few years ago. I think it'd be a nice musical.
I didn't get a chance to see it, but the National Ballet of Canada did a ballet of The Little Prince a few years ago, which was supposed to be really, really beautiful. So representing it on stage with movement and dancers and music, I think it would really translate really well.
It's got a good dreamlike quality and it's all based on staying connected to childhood, and I think it'd just be real fun.
Bug, it looks like you have an answer. Share it.
You know what movie I think would make a great musical is A Quiet Place.
Oh, wait.
Okay.
Okay.
Elaborate, please.
Interesting. Interesting.
Really, I need to hear why.
I don't know.
I feel like that would be a scary, immersive musical, but I'd kind of be into it, I think.
What would be also great is Jurassic Park, any of them.
Okay.
King Kong style, you know?
Yeah.
King Kong versus...
You're thinking of giant puppets. Yeah, that's awesome.
Honestly.
What is the next thing you want to collaborate on?
Well, funny story, we kind of had a little spin-off thing, Hannah and I, and our background artist, where we started it months ago and then never picked it up again, called Camp Calyx, and it's supposed to be a little webcomic. So for me, that would be that. Yeah. I want to get back to it, but life just got in the way.
Oh, I was just there. The same bug. Camp Calyx is a really cute idea, I think, and I'd like to continue with it after I graduate and have no free time. No.
I'm a part of one other thing that's kind of in an in-between point right now. We were going to make it an animated show. It got really big on TikTok, and then there were structural issues. We might be making a webcomic now, so maybe that. Or I've got, again, a whole bunch of half-baked ideas for TV show pictures and stuff in my computer that maybe I'll go back to spend more time on.
Okay, what is, if you've watched any virtual theater this year, what is your favorite piece of virtual theater that you've seen?
Ratatouille the Musical.
Oh, yes!
Yes, correct.
We loved it. Also, we'll take that as a collective answer.
Wait, I got one, the yes. Bridgerton musical stuff.
Yes, that
Abigail
too.
Abigail Barlow and Emily Bear, I adore it. They have a soundtrack coming soon. I'm so excited to hear it.
I'm excited too. I love
My Burn for You is a great song.
It's all just stuck in my head. I've only heard snippets of the very first song, their opener, but it sounds like it's gonna be my favorite thing ever. I have a weird thing about openers. It's just really interesting.
These are both great answers. What is your dream role?
Oh, that's so hard.
I guess artist.
Correct. Good answer.
Good answer.
okay. I hate to bring it up again, but I did watch a couple times the professional shooting of the SpongeBob musical back when it was on Broadway in like 2017. And even to just be on the in the ensemble for that show, I can't recommend even just watching it enough, because it looks like the most fun, thrilling, amazing show to be a part of in any fashion. It just looks like so much fun. I can't get over it, and I would love to. Any part of it would be a dream come true.
I'm going to say Delia from Beetlejuice, because I think she's
nice. Fun.
That is really fun. Okay, last part of our lightning round. If you have seen any theater before shutdown, what was the last thing you saw?
Whatever it was in high school. It was a high school play.
Yeah, mine was a university production of Year in Town.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun.
Yeah.
I think my high school did Seussical was its last thing. That's probably the last thing I saw live.
Mm. All right. Well, before we wrap this up, what is next for this musical? What can you tell us about what's coming up?
So we're hoping to have all the songs done by May, and then they'll be released in a staggered kind of approach until the musical's ready. So from May, the songs will be ready, and keep your eye out on our Instagram because they'll slowly be released.
They're coming, we promise.
But the actual musical, we're aiming for the spring of next year.
Awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
We asked you guys to come with a charity that you wanted to feature, and you'd recently collaborated with one. So why don't you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah. So we did a lockdown live concert back in February with some Broadway and West End stars, where we raised money for Mind Out, which is an LGBTQIA charity. And all the funds we raised with that charity event went directly to them. So, yeah. Go donate if you can, because they're a very good organization.
That's awesome. We will also put that on our social media. And speaking of social media, where can we follow you guys?
Well, you can follow us at Astrom Club on Instagram, at Astrom Club the Musical on TikTok, and at Astrom Club _press on Twitter.
And you can follow us at Off to B-Way Podcast, that's with the number 2, on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can listen to us and subscribe anywhere podcasts are found.
And you can also subscribe to us here on YouTube. And we just want to say a big thank you to all three of you for joining us today. You guys are doing such important work, and we can't wait to see the final project.
Thank Is that an animal?
I was like trying to not look down the corner as a little chihuahua pops up.
I was trying to keep him on the down low. He was laying perfect. On the lap and nodding at you. And I was like, please stay. We're almost at the end. So thank you for having us.
It's thank been you for having us.
It's been so much fun. It's been so much fun. Thanks for telling us all about Astrom Club. We can't wait to hear more from it.